We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dusty and Friends.
What would you rather be, a lion or a panda?
Coach, I'm me. Why would I want to be anything else?
This is Dusty and Friends with Dusty the Fan Man Hera.
I'm not sure you realize how psychologically healthy that actually is.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Friends. Our friend of the day, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is with us. I never heard the origin stories of the Matrix and how you got it all off the ground and got the idea of it. You told us at the beginning of the show you were driving around the Twilliger curves.
Yeah.
And you were listening to Colin Cowherd talking about college football.
It's funny. this conversation here, this is 100% full circle, right?
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle. But everything that I have done in college football was rooted in me. I just happened to turn it on, you know, because I was between analytics jobs, you know, I was going from the bank to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was coming down I-5 through Twilliger and I had 1080 on and I was listening to Colin. And like I said, he brought up the idea that his guys at Vegas, when they evaluated college football for lines, it was rooted in, you know, they used talent.
Yeah.
Right? It's how much talent does each team have? And that was 2008. I don't remember the day. I know it was 2008, and I was coming down the hill off of Twilliger, and I was literally overlooking this radio station as you come around the turn.
Right.
And I'm listening to it. And the nerd bells are going off in my head, you know, and I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, he says that his guys in Vegas use talent. And, you know, this is about the time I started getting really interested in the recruiting numbers, you know, 4 or 5 star, all that stuff. And which started about 2002. So we got 2002 to 2008. I got like 6 years of data.
Right.
So as soon as I was done at the hospital, I went home. Pulled up the laptop and I start downloading every bit of recruiting data I can find. Everything. All the class rankings, all the players, all of it. I spend days gleaning this stuff off the internet. And this was the time that Phil Knight was starting to really pour money into Oregon. And people were talking about what does it take to be, you know, a national title contender at Oregon. And so that was my first question. Can I figure out what it takes to be a national title contender with talent data? Because here's Colin telling me what his buddies do.
Right.
And I love listening to him because I think a lot of the ways that he thought back then, I jived with.
It
resonated with me. And so now I have this question of the Duck fans are going, oh, what does it take to win a national title?
Well, I can figure that out.
Right. So let's look at all the recruiting. And I was like, okay, cool. The last 10 years... everybody that won a national title was a top 10 recruiter over the previous 4 years. So 4 year moving average. So everybody's in the top 10.
Right.
Right. Okay, cool. So we got one box checked and then everybody had at least two top 10 classes. Okay. We check another box and the other classes, one of them had to be at least top 15 and the other one had to be at least top 20.
Okay.
Right. And so these last 10 national title winners fit into these boxes checked. And that was the first formula because I was listening to Colin. Now, you and I both know that the college football narrative on recruiting a national title is a big thing now.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
The reason that narrative started is because Colin was talking about that while I was listening.
And you just dove into it and said, right. All right, how much right. is it?
Colin doesn't realize it, but he actually started the entire college football narrative on recruiting and performance.
Yeah.
I just took what he was talking about and built the numbers behind it.
And you quantified it.
Right. And so every recruiting discussion that has ever existed since 2008 forward was based off of me listening to him at that time.
And figuring out, and it was from a gambling aspect too. Like a gambling,
because it turned he's talking, into that, right?
Well, no, but that's yeah. what he was saying. But he his was guys talking in about Vegas,
right.
His guys in Vegas from the gambling aspect of it, of how do you set a line? How do you know which side to pick was who's got the most talent?
Right. And so now we have these talent rankings. Now it's not perfect, right? But it's the most important things in college football. You know, since 2008, if you simply picked the best recruiter to win every game, you'd get about 67% of all games right. Period.
Really? Oh, well, because Nick Saban?
Right, just everybody, though. Nick I mean, Saban, even your Georgia Southern versus Georgia State.
Okay.
You're going to get 2/3 of them by the better recruiter. You know, the SEC is the worst. 72% of all SEC conference games, the better recruiter wins over the last decade.
Interesting.
Doesn't matter. Home away, it doesn't matter. 72%.
Well, how did... Okay, so you've been working in data analytics is your background, right? And that's kind of what you've been doing?
It really wasn't. It was just I went to U of O and got my blasé, you know, I got my bachelor's in this. And I guess the only thing that ties into the numbers is I love economics.
Okay.
I love the numbers, the stats, analytics of economics. And
so you're not even some like math guru or anything.
No,
like
God
that.
No, God no. It's just something that's inside that says I got to find an answer with the numbers.
Right.
You know, I mean, my major should have been I tell stories with numbers. Right. That's exactly. Really what it is. That's exactly what I do. You know, and whether it's college football or the NFL or you know college basketball or anything. Just give me the data and I'll try to tell you the story with it.
So where do you start with finding that data, right? When you go home, right, are you manually at this point, like when College Football Matrix is just starting, this idea is spinning mm-hmm. in your head, are you going in and just like manually inputting into like an Excel sheet?
Yep, copy paste. Hours and hours and hours and hours of it.
You're kidding. Now, for every team.
Every team. Everything. Everything.
Over at that point, it was 6 years, but you're doing this and you're keeping right. up with it every
and
year.
And I've
now.
Kept up with it. I mean, I have, at this point, I have every single coach. And so in the database, I have every single coach for every single team for the last 20 years. I have every single play. I have every single drive. I have every single flag. I have every single referee crew. I can tell you who the back judge is at any game. I can tell which referee crews to bet on the underdog every time and you'll win 63% of the games because they manipulate the games. I can tell you so much about everybody and everything in college football because it's all right there over the years. Now, a lot of that data is gone. That's why I got to keep up with it because this stuff will be there and then next year it's wiped out or it's archived and it's impossible to find. So, but originally after I got done listening to Colin, I went home, copy screen, paste a screen, copy screen, paste a screen, and just start putting everything in and organizing it properly to be able to figure out, you know, what you had to do to win a national title.
You may not be a math guru, but you're the one guy that on your resume is not lying when you say proficient in Excel.
It's
my goodness.
It's and actually I'm not even that great at Excel, right? It is. I think what I have been able to be very proficient in to this point is finding the data, coming up with the ideas.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because how many people listen to Colin say the same thing, but didn't have a light bulb go on that says I need to explore this.
And really, like the evolution of the matrix is the interesting part because. Mm-hmm. You get to that point where you say, all right, I have found, you know, the top 10, like in order to win a title,
right.
This is what's in common. You have to, over a 4-year period, be a top 10 recruiter. You have to have at least two top 10 classes, a 15 and a 20, right?
Right.
Where do you adjust it after that? Because that doesn't tell the whole story. Cause there's probably a pretty large cluster of teams that fit that criteria, right?
There was usually about 10 to 12 a year.
Okay.
Okay. And that was the first one. So then, but then one answer creates another question, right? That's what we're always looking for. We never settle. And so the next question was, okay, we have the numbers to show who should win a national title. So how does this affect individual games?
Right.
And now we start, now we go, okay, we answered one question pretty conclusively. Now can we start predicting season outcomes? Now can we start predicting game outcomes, which also branches into, can we predict game totals and game spreads?
And that, okay. Now where do the numbers go from there? That's not all on just recruiting rankings, is it?
No, it's not. And then, so this is when I go out and I start finding play-by-play data.
Okay.
And I start downloading that. And the one thing with the origins of the matrix with Colin is that's where it started, but it's never stopped. It's constantly evolving. There's a consistent evolution of the matrix even through today. You know, a year ago, I didn't have portal information.
I do have the portal in there.
Right. Well,
we can dive into the portal a little bit.
Can get into that in terms of what we do there. But 2 years ago, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Now I can, we're basically hardwired into the portal so that, and I have my client list and we have formulas written for all of them. So let's say you're Utah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Utah is one of my clients. All right. And guy hits the portal. And all of his numbers match what makes a good starter at Utah. So I get a push notification. Hey, Dusty just entered the portal. He fits inside these numbers of what's a Utah starter. This is a good, efficient use of your time to pursue this guy.
Wait, you get that's what the matrix does now
I'll get a ding.
No
and then
way.
I can call, you know, so I can call a client, let's say director of player personnel, say, hey, this guy just hit the portal. He fits the model of a quality starter at your school over the last 10 years and or in your division.
And does that take his stats into account?
We can do that too. So one of the other parts to that is, okay, you lost X amount of sacks, X amount of tackles at the defensive line through transfers. So you need to transfer that in. So it'll also match guys in the transfer portal that match what you lost. So you can replace what you lost. And so what this does is, you know, with the portal, there's thousands of guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're a staff, parsing through that constantly and going through, it's a pain in the butt.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I can just go click and I can break them down instantly. And I can say, here's your top five at each position you should be going after. These are the most likely to start. These are the most likely not to transfer again. What it does is it creates, ultimately, every goal is creating efficiency in process and reducing risk in acquisition, whether it's a player or a coach or an opponent.
That is fascinating. Like, I mean, that's a crazy tool that you can just have. And I've got so many questions to come off of this, like, because... You know, one of the things is that just an algorithm that
No, it's custom for each team. So when we're dealing with a roster, okay. So, you know, let's say in the state of Alabama, I'm working for Alabama, Auburn, and Southern Alabama,
okay.
South Alabama. Okay, what fits at Alabama as a starter doesn't fit at Auburn. Doesn't fit at South Alabama. So every client has a unique signature in terms of what works at their program. Heights, weights, disposition, distance from home. And that's one part of it. The other part of what we do is the psychological profile. We work with each staff on creating a questionnaire for former players.
Wow.
So like if you played at Nebraska.
Yeah.
You're going to get a question. Like when we first start, we'll send out a questionnaire and say, okay, answer this like you were 18. And we get a response back. Okay, that guy was a DB starter. He goes in the starter pile. And then we can gather all the data of past starter behaviors.
Between the years.
Right. And so we can actually start profiling physical traits, physical performance, mental traits, psychological traits to find the best guys that are going to fit and stay and be productive in the program.
Okay, now I've got more alarm bells coming off. Send your questions to 503-250-1080. We have Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, in studio with us. We're finding out how the Matrix was made. This is really interesting to me. And I think where I want to go with it, I have so many questions about the model itself and how the development of these, this psychological profile, and how you go about making something like this, and who do you go to for, you know, your information on building all of this stuff. And then also, like, when did you know that the Matrix was, I have something, I have it, not just I'm sitting in my basement copying, pasting all of these
things. I didn't know it. The first guy who knew it was your former classmate at Glencoe High. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Oh, we will. All right, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, in studio with us, Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is with us in studio. There are so many tentacles to the Matrix that we've just kind of unfurled here. This is really interesting that it started just driving in, and you're listening to Colin Cowherd, and boom.
Yeah, I'm on
here
I-5.
Here you are now. Here you are now.
And it's right in your backyard.
Yeah.
It's been in Forest Grove the whole time. it's funny. When I first started coming on with Isaac and Sue.
Yeah.
And I never told my wife really what was going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I, you know.
You just disappeared?
She kind of knew I was there. But the reason I didn't say anything is I was curious how long it took to get back to her.
Right.
And it was, I don't remember when it was, but I remember laughing when she came home because she teaches at Forest Grove High School, go Vikings. And she's like, I had a teacher come into my office today asking if I knew a Dave Bartu.
Uh-oh.
And it was weird for her at first. And then now it's like, oh, that's my husband's dumb brother. But in all seriousness, it was kind of fun, you know, watching that that kind of move around, but it's cool that I was able to come in here and have something right in the backyard.
Well, when did you know that you had something with the Matrix? Like you start crunching numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do you sit there and you say, all right, at what point in how many kind of the trials and errors of data and information until you said, no, I got something here?
Yeah, well, I always believed there was something there, but it's communicating it to people.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, the first people I actually communicated to were the gamblers.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of projecting, the first thing I ever bet on was season totals. You know, how many games a team's going to win, overs mm-hmm. and unders, and so that was successful and that was fun, and so that rolled into betting spreads and betting totals, and those formulas have slowly evolved over time. And the data at some point, it turned into trying to predict on-field behavior of teams. And the first real opportunity that I had to present my ideas was actually via my first radio show. So
really?
Yeah. My first radio. So my first radio show was on ESPN in Mississippi. And it was about 90 days after my buddy Darren, who you went to high school with.
Yeah, well, yeah, Hudge was a guy who was just a little bit older than me, who
right.
was back teaching at the time at Glencoe.
Right. But he, you know, there's a Glencoe connectivity here as well.
Absolutely.
And so I was talking to him about all this stuff, and he's like, "Hey, you need a Twitter account." I'm like, "A what?" He's like, "It's just post stuff about what," he goes, "whatever you tell me, just post it." Right. And so I started doing that. 90 days later, I get a call from the producer and ESPN in Mississippi saying, "Hey, this is different. I like it. I want to put you on the air." Mm-hmm. And the first time I went to go on the air, I was nervous. Oh my gosh. You know, I couldn't sleep that night or anything. And it was like a 7 o'clock call. And the show is at 7:30. So I'm thinking, okay, the host is going to call me at like 7:15 and we're going to go over everything he's going to talk about. Right?
Wrong.
Right. And then 7:30 hits and I'm freaking out and I get a text saying, "Oh, we got Cam Newton on. We're going to have to bump you to another day." I'm like, dude, I got, so my first bump was Cam Newton. So I was like, well, I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
right?
That's, you know,
I got bumped
by
Cam
cool.
Newton. And then a couple of days later, they had me on and again, couldn't sleep. And the producer comes on and I'm like, it's literally 60 seconds. I mean, it's like 7:29. I'm like, "Are you bumping me again?" He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Oh, we need to go over what we're going to talk about." And he goes, and then it goes silent. All I hear is him laugh. And then, all of a sudden I hear the host, you know, you can hear it faintly, right? Because you're on hold and you can't hear the host in full and he's talking and then he's introducing me. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's go time now.
Oh, man. And all of a sudden you could almost like visually, you could hear the curtain come up and it's live radio. I felt like I got pushed out of a plane. I just lost it, you know? And that was the first time I was on the air. And I've probably been on that show a couple hundred times. But there was an AD that was listening and listened a lot and liked what I said and brought me in to talk to a head coach. And so that it was right there that I started to believe that I could do something with this, right?
Yeah.
Until Dan Mullen started yelling at me. I don't know. And now here I am, arguing with a head coach.
What is he yelling at you about? Like of recruiting?
Oh no, we're arguing about statistics and analytics and trends. He's like, I got plenty of numbers, and he points to this. There's this huge shelf of just three ring binders, stuffed full of paper, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I could go down to the Pied Pantry and buy a 10-cent lighter and burn this, and the lighter's worth more, and which pissed him off, you know. And so we're kind of raising our voices at each other about this, but we're talking, right? That's the thing is these guys don't have a lot of time to talk about stuff that's useless. So I think he was interested. Just I couldn't communicate it well. And right. I don't know if I was really ready for it there. But it was at that point that I knew, I'm like, okay, I can go somewhere with this. I just need to communicate it better and find my niche, right? And that's taken a long time. You know, I mean, we're talking, it's 2022, and I started, you know, the first time I heard Colin was 2008.
Yeah.
So this has been a really long journey to have the influence I have now on college football, which is cool. But it is a lot of trial and error in coming up with the methodology that works for college football programs.
So you work with a handful of college football programs around the country. How many of them? I mean, you don't have to say are, but how many programs across the country do you work with, and how do you kind of how do you narrow them down and maybe keep it so the information is valuable?
Well, they find me, number one. We don't even have a website. I mean, I kind of see that as a badge of honor because we're so good at what we do. Mm-hmm. We don't need one.
Okay.
But I also don't like sharing a lot of information. Even a lot of your questions, I like twinge a little bit, answering too much detail. But it's a pain in the ass to replicate what we've done. But what will happen is, and every single coach that I work for right now, and it's just me and my partner, he's in Oklahoma. He's the data nerd.
How did you find this guy in Oklahoma?
Twitter. We just started talking. Here's what's interesting.
So Colin Cowherd and Twitter are responsible for unleashing you on the college football
world. Yeah. So Adam and I have been working together on projects because I can't keep up with the data.
Yes.
Right. It takes me a long time. You know what? If I come up with an idea, it'll take me a month to figure it out. He'll be like, "It's in your inbox in 5 minutes." Right. He's just super smart. And so we work together on programs all over the country. We've never met.
In person?
In person.
No way.
Not once. No idea. You know, no, you know.
You have no idea how tall he is.
Yeah, I think he's like 6'2", and I know what he looks like because he's, you know, I can see his Twitter picture and stuff. And so we've never met. And we decided that we wanted to keep the information as confidential as possible. We didn't want to expand. We didn't want to go hire people and become a service company. We wanted to be an analytics company. And an analytics company creates edges. So if you give it to everybody, nobody has it. Right.
Yeah. So this is where the big change has been like over the last handful of years, because you guys were a service company.
Right.
Even a few years ago, where you were producing a preseason magazine.
Oh, everything. Right. I was trying everything. Awesome. Yeah. I was trying everything, and I was trying to deliver everything to everybody. And it sucked. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And when everybody has the same thing, there's no edge to it. And so we made the decision that, look, let's just keep it small.
Mm-hmm.
At the most, one client per division.
Okay.
That's it.
Across college football.
Across college football, you know. And if somebody wants to pay double, it'll be one client per conference. I have one client right now that is paying us more money to not work with their competition than to give them what we do. That's how good
it is.
That's
fascinating.
Right? That's cool.
Yeah,
so,
that's very cool.
Yeah. So only one client per division. So at the most, we can have 20 clients.
Okay.
Total in the country. Right now we have 11. And some of them I don't even really want to work with.
But so you're guaranteeing a non-compete, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Right.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense.
That's why you're getting the edge.
Right. Yeah. That's the edge, you know? And it's fun because we're basically an extension of the staff now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We're an extension of the staff. Our the first thing that we do now is when we sign a new client is we try to get to them. And actually, we recently did one. This is and things constantly change with how we do things. But what we discovered is the best thing to do is walk in and have an open house.
And
have it open out. So let her rip. Yeah. So, you know, there's a room and there's tables and there's, you know, the big screen and everything. And, you know, you schedule, okay, the offense comes in and we talk about what we do for the offense. But then we also talk about what can we do for the offense? What ideas do you have?
Right.
And so the offensive coordinator will be like, well, I want to see this and I want to see this. Can you do that? Yeah. Yeah. Bam. You know,
so then, like, I want to see where we are outside the numbers on third down and medium, right?
Right. Or I really like these three offensive coordinators. What do they have in common that they do well?
Oh,
okay. I really like these defensive coordinators. What do they have in common that they do well? What are things that are in common that they don't even care about? They're crappy. It turns out. So like one of the defensive coordinators, he gave me his five guys, right? And I ran all the numbers on him. What was absolutely in common with all of them, they were bottom 20 in defensive line havoc.
Really?
That sacks, tackles for loss, didn't even matter to their defenses. And these are all top 30 defenses. But their philosophy indirectly had nothing to do with sacks, penetration, and harassing the quarterback. It's all containment. It's a bend, don't break defense philosophy. Yeah. So the first step is trying to get everybody in tune with what we do for them, what we deliver, but also what we can do for them in terms of expanding ideas and trying to bring ideas to life for them. So we see ourselves as an extension of the staff, which for me is exciting because, you know, as a Duck alum, I can be excited about Duck games.
Yeah.
But now that I have 11 other clients, so now I'm
looking. You're following along pretty closely.
All of them. I found I kind of lost my passion for a while with college football because as a Duck season ticket holder, I got to see everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, undefeated season, Pac-12 titles, Rose Bowl wins, going to a national title game. I did it all.
Yeah.
And for me, when I check off boxes, it gets boring really quick. I can't do things over and over.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is in studio with us. I have a question to start our next segment is what happens when you walk into a room and you have a negative coach effect on that coach. First is Buck with SportsCenter. We have Dave Artu in studio with us. I asked you right before the break. One part of the Matrix formula has always been coach effect, right? As far as the gambling aspect of it. You know, have you ever walked into a room and had like a moment where you're like, the guy's like, hey, man, hey, Bartu, you're the guy that said I've got a negative coach effect.
Oh, man, I haven't come across that one yet.
Thank God for you.
Not face to face. You know, I've had it. So when we have our open house meetings.
Yeah.
I've had guys say, hey, how do I rank in your system?
That's awkward.
Well, that's between me and coach. And if he wants to give you that, so I dump it on the coach.
Yeah, it's good. Good, as you should.
but I will. So one of our services that we do is we help former head coaches or guys that want to become a head coach land the job.
Mm.
We use numbers to make them look really prepared.
Okay.
Okay. And I know that sounds funny.
And
right?
Then the school can hire you if you want the other side of that story.
Well, no. The head coach gets the school to hire us. We help him get the job. But what we do is in the interview process. So for everybody listening, one of the things about the interview process is, especially in college football, if you see somebody hired and you go,
huh?
Eh? Right?
Yeah.
Really? I can promise you one of two things. That's the athletic director's best buddy,
mm-hmm.
or that guy is a veteran that can interview your butt off. He knows every word, everything to say. He can make you think that this guy knows everything about football. So veteran coaches are really good at interviewing. But what we do to help separate guys is with our database of coaching grades, we can have them go in and say, okay, here's my top five guys at every coaching position, and here's their grades, and here's their history. He doesn't have to do any work. You know, it'd be impossible for him to do all of it. And we have that prepared. But we only take guys that are good.
Right.
We only take a head coach, you know, former head coach, are you good? You know, because if we're not going to go out there and try to represent a guy that sucks, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
And I remember the first phone call I got, and it was from a guy that wanted to get back into head coaching. He'd been fired from his last job, and by our numbers, he's bad, just not a good head coach.
Mm.
And that was the first time I ever kind of had to just say, I'm not working with you because your numbers. You know, and it wasn't harsh. It was just simply, look, in our system, you don't look good.
Yeah. And we can't back you up. Right. Like, what do you want us to do?
I'll take your money. I'm an equal opportunity check casher. Don't get me wrong, but a report full of red ink is not going to look cool, dude.
Yeah.
Not going to look good. I can't back you up. I can get you prepared, but I can't back you up as a hire. So I just pass on those guys. That's about the worst case scenario of having to deal with somebody that has a negative coach effect and negative impact.
Is that guy coaching again?
No.
No?
No. No, I don't know. He's not. And he's made his money. He's had his opportunity. He caught lightning in a bottle in his fourth year of his contract in the G5. He caught lightning in a bottle. He was bad for 3 years, hit a big fourth year, moved up to Power 5, bad 3 years, hit a big fourth year, and finally just ran out of steam. But no, he's not coaching right now, fortunately.
Boy, you just described a lot of guys, though.
Lightning
in a bottle, G5, goes up, Power 5, has three bad years, one good year, and then it turns to turds again.
And then somebody falls in love with him because it just takes one athletic director, right? No, and no Duck fans, I'm not talking about Willie Taggart because he's at FAU.
Yeah, this text goes, text at 503-250 today goes, Willie Taggart.
No, Willie's down at FAU being a bottom five head coach grade in college football. So, but he's still cashing the checks.
How upset do you get when you know the numbers behind a guy in a particular school and then he gets hired somewhere and you're like, oh, that's bad. That's just bad.
I don't get upset with it. I used to.
Yeah.
But now that I'm working for other schools, I just laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Good for you.
You know, it's, and I'll see who he hires And, you know, it's a game now, right? We're trying to consolidate talent for our clients. So I don't mind seeing somebody make a bad hire.
Okay, here's a question. Who's a guy that, like, bad head coach who has surrounded himself with great coordinators and changed his narrative?
Oh, surrounded. It's, I don't know if you can change the narrative by surrounding yourself. Okay, so here's an opportunity. Okay, the one guy that I can think of, so he is 117th out of 130 in head coaching grade going into this season.
It's not good.
Terrible, right? He is a 4+ star offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Really good play caller. Okay, he puts numbers up, totally efficient. His defensive coordinator's career is awesome. Absolutely awesome. His offensive support staff, running back coach, wide receiver coach, is really good. Okay. And his team is uber talented. But I would not bet on Sarkisian surviving at Texas.
When you were saying that, I was thinking, is this Lane Kiffin or Steve Sarkisian?
No, actually, I know it sounds funny. Lane should have been the guy they hired.
At Texas.
By far. Lane is so much better than Steve Sarkisian. It's not even nice to mention him in the same discussion. It's not even close. Lane is a... Here we get caught up in Lane because he tanked at Tennessee 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He was at USC for a couple of years.
Under sanctions.
Right. And got tarmacked.
Yep.
All right. And he was terrible at the Raiders. But the Raiders don't count in college football.
Nope.
And then he went to Alabama and his scoring efficiency numbers were awesome, off the chart. Okay. Then he went to Florida Atlantic. And a lot of people don't realize the job he did at Florida Atlantic. He hired extremely well. Florida Atlantic's three best recruiting years of the last 25 were his years.
What an exciting time.
And he did a really, really good job at Florida Atlantic. Now he's doing a really good job at Mississippi. He is a 4-star head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's top 5 head coach in the SEC. He is top 3 offensive coordinator in the SEC. He has a top 5 total staff in the SEC. He is nowhere near Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian doesn't even get to hold his bags onto the bus, you know. So I mean, if from a Texas standpoint, Lane would have been infinitely better risk. But this goes back to what we talked about before: is when guys are bad, they tend to stay bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get just bat-ass lucky. Okay. Mm-hmm. The craziest one, and this is borderline Gary Anderson. I'll never understand how it went so bad so fast. Okay. I mean, because when Gary came from Utah State and Wisconsin, I was like, damn, that's a trade up.
He's got a good profile.
Right. And then it just, you know, the poop hit the fan and it was like, wow. And then he gave back his money and then he lost his ass at Utah State.
Again.
Yeah. I'll never understand that one. Okay. The one of them that I don't understand, and this is a perfect example, now that I remember it, of surrounding yourself and changing the narrative. Okay. His first 3 years as head coach, he was minus 12 games coach effect combined. Okay. This means he lost 12 games to teams that he out recruited.
Yeah. Okay? Over that 3 year span.
Over that 3 year span. Okay.
God, that'd be infuriating. Oh, 4 games a year.
Yeah. So we're talking Mac Brown bad years. Just 3 in a row, though. It was garbage, garbage, garbage. Okay. Total hot garbage. And when he got hired, I was laughing my butt off. I'm like, this is going to be an absolute friggin' disaster. He's going to get fired. He's going to be terrible. He's going to make stupid decisions. But he's at a school with the second most NFL starts in the last 10 years. So super talented. He's got a defensive coordinator that when he was hired before him, I said, that guy's going to leave with a national title. Top 2 defensive coordinators in the country. And his first year, I think he was 9-3 when the numbers expected 11-1. And I'm like,
here we go.
8-4 next year, 7-5. And then for some reason, he met a assistant coach in an elevator who'd never coached in college before and hired him. And Joe Brady and Dave Aranda and Joe Burrow won a national title that year with a head coach
that
2 years later, 2 years later was fired.
Yeah.
I will never understand the football gods allowing LSU to catch that lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
with a head coach that has a national title ring and the rest of it is absolute underperforming garbage.
Ed Orgeron. Wow. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Bartu's here with us for the next hour plus. He will be doing Weekend Would You Rather with us. I don't know if you knew that, Dave, at 2 o'clock. You're going to be entering the Would You Rather chamber with us. And I've got a ton of questions, including the coolest thing that you've done. And a lot of questions are starting to come in at 503-250-1080. We will talk with Dave Bartu continuing next on The Fan. I want you, baby. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. He is with us here today. He's the friend of the day. You got a fascinating story, and I love it because you got into the sports world. And I tell this to people all the time, you know, kids all the time. Like, and kids are like, hey, what, you know, what college do I need to go to? It's like, whatever college you'll get the most out of, you know, like it's up to you to get what you get, whatever you want out of college. Right.
Right.
It's up to you to like put yourself out there and go and get, create those opportunities. You know, I tell them, you know, like career days and stuff. If you have a passion for something, you can go and you can do it. Like you don't have to be an athlete to be involved in college football or the NFL. Like you are with the Matrix. You just have to marry your passion and your skill set together.
Yeah. Well, and it was really by accident.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, you know, college football, I mean, where I grew up in northern rural California, I didn't have college football.
Yeah.
I've never played football.
You don't,
none.
You don't have to.
Never, we were talking like Wairika, Humboldt.
Organized game of college football.
Yeah. Where are you? Are you from like Ukiah?
So many times.
Dude, worse than that. So I'm a Humboldt County kid.
Oh, all right.
Right.
Murder Mountain. Yeah.
Right. You know, so, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. So
Murder Mountain.
I got a story of like there.
Yeah. Oh, I got a lot of pot growing stories. We could talk for hours about pot growing stories.
I know a guy who disappeared for like 3 days and then showed back up at campus and like nothing happened. And it was like, where have you been? Yeah. Yeah. I got into some stuff in Humboldt County. He was just gone and then just reappeared like nothing at all had happened.
There's a lot of things that have disappeared down there. So, I mean, it was rural enough. One of the best examples is my school bus from high school, it dropped me off 2.5 miles from my house.
You're kidding.
So I would usually hitchhike to get home. I had a little cardboard sign that said Philbrook Market.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, I'd end up jumping in the back of somebody's truck and getting a ride to the market. And then it was quarter mile walk to my house.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
So like when you live out, you know, way west.
Like Cherry Grove.
We call it like the boonies.
Yeah, way out there.
You're like, no, I live in the city right now compared to where you actually grew up.
Oh, yeah. The whole cul-de-sac neighborhood thing is nothing compared to chicken and pig farm and out in the middle of the Emerald Triangle in Humboldt County. But I didn't have college football.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we had two channels. We had a 13-inch black and white TV. To me, college football was UCLA and USC.
Yeah.
It was Terry Donahue and USC. It was Notre Dame and USC.
Yeah.
You know, that was it. And so I really wasn't even aware of college football until my parents were driving me to U of O.
Hmm.
We were going through Coburg, coming up I-5 North, and we'd gotten through there, and it was like Cottage Grove or something like that. And we finally got close enough to Eugene where we picked up the radio signal, and the Ducks were at Iowa.
Huh.
And I think, was that Chuck Long or Chris Everett? I think it was Chuck Long. And to me, Iowa was a big brand, right? That's a big game on the road. That should have been September of 1989.
And you remember like it was yesterday.
And I remember hearing the voice of the Ducks come on and they were winning. And that was the first time in my life that I was really excited about college football.
Yeah,
you know, I'm 18. I've never played organized football, and that's when I kind of got bit by being a Duck, and college football was that moment right there. But while I was going to school, there was never this, oh, I want to be in sports. I want to do this. Yeah. I want to do that. I just followed these paths. You know, I have huge attention problems. So I go all over the place, you know, and I do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm creative. I'm a violinist. I'm a curious person. Bow hunter, you know, you name it. You know, I do it all. You know, I've traveled North America doing, you know, demonstrating fly tying, you know, for fly fishing. And I got a zillion stories, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so I just happened into college football simply because I happened into a job that allowed me to get into data, and I was interested in the data.
Yeah.
And then obviously hearing Colin.
Wow.
Right? And so I stumbled. A lot of people will ask me, well, how do I get into that? Right?
Yeah.
You know, how do I, that sounds like fun. You know, what separates you? You must be really smart. No, I'm not that smart. I am creative. But the most important thing for what I do in college football is trust.
Yeah.
That is what's so hard to break into college football is these guys have small spheres of trust.
They really don't
like anybody. It's like the show after us. They don't like anybody. They don't let anybody in here. But if you can get in here, you can stay forever.
That's right. Well, and that's what you did with Sook, is that Sook thought you were an idiot because you told him that
first show.
Very first show
I came in on.
You said Oregon State will beat Wisconsin back in 2012, right? And that was a year after, like, Wisconsin murdered the Beavs. It was like 35-0.
I don't remember that.
And then, yeah, because it was a home and home.
Right.
And you said, no, Beavs are going to win. And the very next, and Sook was like, you're an idiot, R2. That was the 10-7 win in Corvallis.
I don't remember the score. I remember him looking at me like I was a friggin' idiot.
Yeah, you said
even
outright.
Suggesting it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, coaching, recruiting, at home, this says take the Beavers to win that football game.
All right, hold on, we got to go. Yeah. We're going to do Weekend Would You Rather. We got a ton of questions for Dave. Mm-hmm. I also have a question for you, the coolest thing that you guys have done with the Matrix, because you've done a lot of cool stuff. You've hired coaches. You've, you know, gone out and made people a ton of money everywhere. You guys have done a lot of awesome stuff with this Matrix and this thing that started as just a passion project and is now, you know, a full-fledged, like, it's changing the world of college football. We will continue one more hour with Dave Bartu next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.